Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Everybody loves a love.
And we're live.
Hello, all you gorgeous pairs of ears out there. How's it hanging?
Good evening.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
My name's Megan.
You look cute.
My name is pronounced Megan Mullally. Have I said that on this podcast before?
Not sure if you've done the whole pronunciation.
Yeah. Megan rather than Megan, and Mullally rather than Mullally, which is what everybody says.
Megan.
I know. I really needed to bring the hammer down a lot sooner on Mullally because it's the horse, the, what is it called?
The horse is out of the stable. Yeah. Or out of the barn.
Yeah.
The toothpaste is out of the tube.
Mm-hmm. I just wasn't.
That ship has sailed.
Yes, I was not assertive and forceful as I needed to be. I remember when Susan Sarandon first got like kind of famous and she went on talk shows and people were like, Sarandon. She was like, nope, it's Sarandon. She was not shy about it. And I think I needed to channel my inner Susan.
And now she's running for president.
No, I wish.
Okay.
What would we talk about if we were just going to talk for 45 minutes? Because that's what this is going to be. It's just me and my lover.
Well, I would...
Come on out, Bobby.
Oh, wait. What? Bobby?
Bobby Riggs.
I would ask the person who's always in charge of topics, which is yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, my topic bride. Tonight is no topic.
Okay.
My topic is free for all, free form.
Right on.
Yeah.
Let's talk about agriculture.
Let's talk about what we have eaten exclusively for the last 2+ months.
That seems like a short estimation. It's more than that because we were eating at home also.
Okay, 3 months, 4 months.
Yeah, we've been eating exclusively home-cooked meals, mostly prepared by Megan. Some, maybe one in 15 by me, or one
Nick,
in 12.
Nick bought a smoker called...
The Big Green Egg. It's a popular smoker.
Yeah, so he occasionally smokes a meat.
Japanese-style smoker. Been doing a lot of pulled pork.
Mm-hmm.
Smoked pork shoulder butt.
I want to kind of veer off of the naming of meats to the thing that is the most salient area of interest in this topic, which is that I never cooked in my lifetime until now. And all of a sudden now that's, you know, my life blood.
That is true. I can do 45 minutes of naming meats.
I know. That's why I'm trying to steer you away from that subject.
I mean, in our house, that's the headline of the pandemic. Like, mm-hmm. What was up with your guys' pandemic over at Nick and Megan Mullally's house? And I would say Megan Mullally became a chef out of nowhere.
It is.
How many cooking shows have you watched?
Zero.
Zero.
It's completely out of nowhere. How did it start? It all started with chocolate chip cookie dough.
That's right.
I remember the day. Yeah, I had a hankering for chocolate chip cookie dough, and so I made some. I just wanted to eat the dough, you know, which you're probably not supposed to do, but do it. Who cares? And I made it, and then I kind of felt a little ill, so I made actual cookies, and they were edible, and I thought, say. So I started cooking and baking, and I've bought about at least a dozen cookbooks, and I pour over them like a freak. And Nick, how many separate packets of those, what do they call those tabs that you use to mark pages?
Oh gosh, I mean, I've been to the store three times, and I mean each one of those,
you know, those like post-it tabs that you little colored things that you
little
mark pages with
tabs,
bookmark tabs. Yeah, I've gone through about six packs of those for my cookbooks. I never have said any of these words before, any of these sentences in my life.
And it's really been quite savory. It's been a delicious time.
I had to run out to the store for radishes the other night when I had something in the oven. And I remember thinking, when has this ever... I never, ever, ever thought I would cook. I've made many jokes about it. Yeah. Nick and I have jokes. We used to have a joke like, oh, I'll make your special breakfast. And we would laugh uproariously because, of course, I have never made him breakfast. It's all changed.
Yeah.
So many changes. Oh, I feel like another real... Wait, what?
I was going to ask you, what are, you know, now that you've become an accomplished chef,
mm-hmm.
What... are your predilections? Like what, you've got all these cookbooks, but for the hundreds of recipes you have purchased mm-hmm. in print,
mm-hmm.
what is your eye or your palate drawn to?
I'm glad you asked, Nicholas David Offerman. I think that I like a lot of ethnic cooking. I've made a lot of... The cookbooks I've used have been Israeli.
Mm-hmm.
I've made a lot of Mexican food,
food. We love that Mexican food.
Yeah. And Italian.
And you're quite
Those
good
are
at
the
it.
Three.
Here's a hot tip coming from one of your, probably your best patron.
Mm-hmm.
Anything with fresh tomatillos, mm-hmm. thumbs up. Mm-hmm. That shit is delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's been a real whirlwind over here.
So some specific ethnicities, because I haven't noticed a lot of Irish cuisine.
No, I haven't broached that. That's very tricky. Very tricky cooking. So I have to work my way up to that.
Well,
very complicated. A lot of potatoes involved.
I would not mind some meals that would go well with a Guinness.
And yet, and also I've made all the bread that we've had for months.
Yeah. Well, that's the crazy thing is, you know, to put it in context, the 19 years leading up to this, in which we've lived together, we have both been extremely busy, like workaholic, running around like crazy, doing lots of different showbiz stuff and
drugs, a lot of drugs,
a lot of aspirin. I mean, I take an aspirin every day. On the advice of my doctor, if that's what you're referring to, and some fish oil here
Malox.
And there when I feel like getting crazy. But I mean, you know, because of modern habits, you can now like have healthy, you know, any manner of meals brought into your house or made for you, you know, across a spectrum or scale of cost, you know, from the different affordabilities. And we've done everything from like, we regularly just like pick up salads from a nice restaurant, you know, like entree salads, but we've gone all the way to having like a fancy chef prepare our meals and drop them off twice a week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know, so
But we didn't have like a chef come over to the house in an outfit and
But what I'm driving at is like we care about what we eat and we pay attention to even the sourcing of the ingredients, and we've always, you know, been, for the last 12 or 15 years, we've been really into good ingredients and healthy cooking. But the fact that we haven't eaten a restaurant meal, there was one meal we had where we were out in a beautiful Northern California town called Healdsburg. And we came across a sausage place.
Oh my God. Chicago hot dogs. That's what I had. What did you have?
I had a bratwurst.
Only had one. See, I had two.
That's my go-to is the bratwurst.
Yeah.
But outside of that evening, which was quite delicious, all of our meals have been prepared in the home.
That's insane.
That's bananas. And
the other thing is, food is a lot better for you when you make it yourself, I've decided. I don't even know what that means. And also, food's not as fattening when you make it yourself.
Yeah.
Because I haven't gained any. I lost weight over the quarantine, but I haven't gained any weight, even though I've been eating what I think is a lot of, like, carnitas.
Also, yeah, I mean, you're baking delicious bread and eating toast with raspberry preserves.
Yeah, I think that, you know, my diet had gotten so limited because I felt like, well, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, I can't. And I had this long list. But now that I'm making food, I feel like, oh, I'm not going to eat this for sure, you know. And also things that I wouldn't normally feel like I would like, I like it if I cook it. Oh, God, I'm already pretty snobby about it, and I feel like my new career is as a famous chef.
Or as a famous kitchen accessory shopper.
Oh my God. Okay, so it's a two-hander.
Yeah.
Because that's been the other thing is we didn't really have kitchen stuff because we don't cook.
We had the basics.
Basic. And so I've been on a little Amazon shopping spree because Jeff Bezos needs more money. So I wanted to help. I wanted to do my part.
He's only, I don't even know the word, the exponential degree to which he's
the richest person ever in the history of recorded money.
The statistics I'm seeing on social media right now are like, this one I think I remember, Jeff Bezos could write a check to every child born in 2020 for $24,000. And when he was done, he would have as much money as he had at the beginning of the pandemic.
Hmm. Well, you're just full of facts and figures, aren't you?
Seems like our society is a little out of whack.
I applaud your retention.
I'm detecting an imbalance.
I want to talk about pots and pans, though, because that's really a lot of what's consumed me over the last few months.
Talk to me.
I don't know. I didn't know anything about it. So I have spent an unbelievable amount of time reading about pots and pans. And even like I'll go on Amazon and I'll read reviews of like pot holders. I'm not kidding. Like I will scour. I've spent an hour reading reviews for trivets. That's real. So I've learned a lot, but pots and pans, you know, it's an investment.
Sure.
It can be a lifetime investment if you choose wisely.
That's right.
They're expensive, but you know, you get what you pay for, right? Yeah.
And then I love maintaining a tool. So I love specifically, we've gotten some nice cast iron pieces and learning about how to season them and properly maintain them. And those things will last for generations.
I got some Staube pieces recently. Staub. That is a cast iron cookware and also an enameled cast iron cookware in certain instances. I got some Le Creuset. Le Creuset? You know, I mean, it's crazy. It's, look, people, it's crazy over here. I mean, don't come over unless you want the shit to go down because
it's pretty crazy. And I, my challenge then, besides, you know, being your taster and I do a lot of dishes, is for me not putting on a bunch of weight because your cooking is super delicious. And
well, we decided like if I make the delicious pizza that I've now made twice from Allison Roman's cookbook, what's it called? Nothing Fancy.
That's right.
Okay, this pizza, oh so good.
It's bonkers. It's
the pepperoni pizza. Oh my god! All right, so for example, if I make that delicious pizza.
Mm-hmm.
You could have three pieces, but then don't go to the kitchen and have three more pieces.
Right.
That's what we decided.
That's what I learned the second time we had it. and I laid awake in pain until 3 a.m. Delightful pain.
It's worth it.
It's so worth it.
I did secretly have a topic, but I wanted to talk about pots and pans so badly that I didn't want to tell you, but I'm going to launch into it now.
Okay.
And that is that a lot of our quarantine experience has centered around reality television. We've talked at length about what's the show where the bears are chasing them?
Alone.
We've talked at length about Alone, which we watched all 6 seasons of. But that, oh my God, can you believe that was like 6 months ago? It seems like 45 years ago.
It was in the 90s.
But recently, okay, so I was talking to Jessica Williams, and we were having a little girl time with a couple of other women, and she said that she would like to teach a college course on Love Island UK. And I thought, oh, poor Jessica. Well, I didn't think that at all. I was immediately intrigued. And she really wasn't kidding when she said that she wanted to teach a college course on it. I now know, Nick and I both now know because we've just watched the first 2 seasons of it. That show...
Did you say UK? Love Island UK?
Love Island UK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating study.
Oh, my God.
And there are many moments where the dialogue becomes Pinteresque.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like during the first season, I was like, I want to transcribe these scenes, especially between just the men, the guys, the boys, as they're called, and just do it on Broadway because it is. It's like Pinter or Joe Orton. I mean, it's insane. But like the stories, because, okay, so for those of you And we do feel bad for you who have not seen Love Island UK. It's not like The Bachelor. It's like Big Brother, except so they're being filmed at all times. They live together in a house, but it's a dating show. So when they first come in, they have to pair up, and then they have to sleep in a bed together.
And they're
all in the same room.
And the six couples sleep in the same big room.
Is that
room.
Not exactly what I just said?
I'm emphasizing.
Okay. Thank you.
I can step into the
He's
other room.
He's my underscorer.
Like.
No, I really don't want you to. All well, right. Maybe. No. So yeah, they all sleep in the same room. So there'll be like one couple per bed, and they're like, you know, seven beds. And it's, I don't know how to describe it.
Well, it's just, it's a fascinating, you know, study. It's like a terrarium. It's like a human scale terrarium of,
yes.
Of creatures, behaving in a sort of affected wilderness.
Yeah, that is a really, really good way of putting it. But we've gotten really invested in a few of the couples, and we've hoped for their continued happiness in a pretty genuine way.
Yeah, I mean the it seems like the contestants or, you know, participants are selected from sort of working class party scene, you know, they are all very willing to prance about in the equivalent of a napkin and some string. It's downright near nudity.
It's unbelievable. Like, they walk around for the whole show because it's filmed in Spain, like over the summer. And so it's hot and there's a giant pool, and they're literally in thongs for the entire time. Like, I don't think I've been comfortable in a bathing suit since the summer before eighth grade.
Yeah, I mean, I just have learned that people don't appreciate it if I have my shirt off.
Nick saw me naked last night by accident, and I had to have an emergency therapy session today.
And here we are, still getting along.
And here we are.
After all this time. Yeah, that's it's a great version of what I consider to be the fast food of television.
We finished watching it a couple of days ago, but I dreamed about it last night for some reason. Well, oh, what?
Well, something that I think has made us feel invested is that you get sort of these party boys and girls to a certain extent, and they're, you know, they're naughty. They want to hook up with each other, and sometimes they jump from bed to bed, and it's kind of gross sometimes. But then across the 6 weeks that they're together in the villa, eventually some of them, you see their superficial walls breaking down, and they come to know a more mature and adult sense of love. And that, for me, that's the hook. I'm like, oh shit, yeah. Even this scaffolder and this go-go dancer suddenly seem to have the truth of romance between them. And by God, we may have just seen real love take root.
Well, there was, yeah. What did you call them? There was a couple. I don't want to say the names because it's a spoiler, but, you know, our heroes.
From the first season?
From the second season, who you said, oh, they became reformed, right? Isn't that what you said?
Yeah. the one with this, the shaved.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And the,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They were reformed.
I just did a big boobs sign.
It doesn't really narrow it down a great deal.
No, but and another really great advantage of Love Island UK is every season is like 5 billion episodes. And there's really, like, we've kind of watched everything. And so I'm actually really grateful that we have 4 more seasons of this to watch, because it's gonna take up some time.
Well, I've really enjoyed the 2 seasons that we've seen.
They're shooting The Bachelor, though.
They are.
Yeah.
Are they doing it in a bubble?
Wait, I had breaking news and I didn't read it. Yeah, they're in Palm Springs and they're all at a hotel together, quarantined. Crazy. And they can't leave. So once they get voted off, then they're still all there together. Wait, there was...
Right, of course.
Should I break this news that nobody cares about except for me over our podcast? Why not? Entertainment Tonight, this just in. Cassie Randolph files request for a restraining order against Colton Underwood.
Ding dong.
You haven't seen this yet.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
I know. It's listed as domestic violence.
That's a shame.
I guess they split up and... somebody's not happy about it.
Well, this is an awfully dark turn our
podcast has taken. I know, I'm so sorry, dear ears.
Kevin, you can either cut this out or...
Never.
I can say, if you are living in a domestically abusive situation, tell somebody. It's really easy to think things are your own fault or to somehow be cowed into keeping it a secret. But if you were suffering abuse of the physical or psychological or verbal form, tell somebody, make a call, because you're not alone and you don't deserve it.
Wow. Thank you, Nick. That was beautiful. Well, and very important.
It's a real thing.
So, how's your health?
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Health is good. Feeling, you know, it's weird. For the first time in my life, I have to remind myself almost daily that I'm not like a failure or a loser, because I'm not like getting a bunch of work done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a little bit of work done. I'm writing, but not, you know, our household was a finely oiled machine, and we had 2 full-time employees, so that like anything extraneous was taken care of. Like somebody take the dogs to the vet. Somebody goes to the grocery store. Somebody, you know, puts gas in the car so that we could just shit out the most high level entertainment 24/7, like cramping out crazy Tootsie Rolls of comedy and content. And all of that is shut down. You know, we no longer, we have like half an employee now, and, you know, which has a lot of value. I love going to the grocery store and like choosing, like I spend, you know, 45 minutes in the produce section, like poring over which bunch of cilantro seems the freshest, or
you want to please the chef.
I do. Or choosing potatoes or onions. Like when it calls for two medium yellow onions, you know,
I know.
Describe medium.
Yeah.
Define medium.
You put a lot of thought into it and I appreciate it.
But, you know, other than that, like, slight cloud of reduced financial productivity, where I'm not, like, cranking stuff out, my health feels good. I'm running 3 to 4 miles a day, and that feels really good. It goes very well with the good eating I've been doing.
And I'm just the opposite. I don't want to work at all, ever. I'm anti-work, and I am anti-exercise.
And how does your health feel?
Fantastic.
Great.
There you go. Two sides of the spectrum. Hmm. Two ends of the spectrum, excuse me. Ooh, I do have a real pet peeve, or, you know, Nick does too, right now about grammar. Ooh.
Yeah, I don't I am not as discerning. Like I certainly find it a pet peeve, but well, I mean the fact that you correct me with regularity is what I'm saying.
I'm like, sorry.
That's all right. But you obviously are way more on top of it. You have been an English major for a time.
But, you know, it's little things that are very basic to, you know, proper grammar. And I think because everything else is falling apart before our very eyes, I want people to not make these grammatical errors. So one of them, the main one that's really driving me to drink right now, and I think the horse has left the barn on this one too, is when people say, there's so many books I want to read. They say, there
is
apostrophe S, so many books I want to read. It should be, there are so many books I want to read. There are so many books I want to read. It takes the same amount of time. There's so many books I want to read. There are so many books I want to read.
You busted me on this just earlier. I said, like, there's a couple light bulbs.
Yes.
Upstairs or whatever. And you said, there are a couple of light bulbs upstairs.
Oh, it makes me sad and mad.
I had to, you know, my Grandpa Ray, when I would use the word ain't.
What?
Would ask me where I was educated. And I would say the Manuka school system.
I mean, and, you know, so I think some of it is cultural and some of it is location specific. And there is a time and a place for the word ain't, but not for Nikki Offerman.
Well, it's like what you call Manuka fork.
Oh, God. Tell our dear listeners.
These are practices that...
How I've suffered.
I don't, you know, people don't think about these things. They're just parts of our manners or our grammar that have eroded.
I do think that this is in our book, but Nick, for the first, you know, 45 years of our relationship, held his fork like a toothbrush. No.
It is. I mean, you can't argue that it's better for scooping.
It's faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, and he still occasionally forgets and will be like, at a dinner party, and I'll be like, my nuka fork, and then he gives me a dirty look, but then he eventually changes it. You also do that thing that drives me out of my mind, and you blamed it on having a mustache, but you've been clean shaven for lo these many months and still doing it, which is when you're using a spoon for anything, he puts the spoon in upside down and then like really like graphically like sucks, and then he graphically like sucks it on it and turns it over as he pulls it out.
So hang on, you're misrepresenting this a little bit.
No,
and it is because of a
Do you put it in
regular? You put it right side up.
Oh, he puts it in right side up and then like just in the most like sucky slaggy way,
no,
turns it over and like smoops it out of his mouth.
Okay.
Slowly.
Here's the thing.
Sensuously.
Bear with me. If you have a mustache,
you haven't had one for all this time.
It's substantial. And it's hanging, just a picture like a quarter inch of thick mustache hanging.
I don't care about that.
Into the opening of your
mouth. Tell me, what's your excuse for no mustache?
You have a big soup spoon full of either butternut squash soup or ice cream.
With you.
Now listen, okay, so.
I want to get to the
So here comes the choo-choo. It goes into the tunnel, right side up. And you have to think about it. Even going in, you have to carefully avoid the whiskers. So then once you're in there, if you use the conventional method.
We're so far ahead of you.
And pull the spoon out.
Oh my God.
You fill the mustache with the food.
I'm going to start crying.
So you flip it over. And there's no sucking or smooping.
Yes, there is a huge, long, seductive smoop.
Pull it down and away. And completely clean that spoon off of your soup or your ice cream.
I'm going to pass out.
Now, if you have a beard or a mustache for 97%
get to the good part.
Percent of your adult life, and then you shave those whiskers.
What about if you have a wife for part of your life, and she hates it? How about that?
All right. If you shave the whiskers away, you're still in that habit.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it.
Deliver.
How about there was a habit of shaking people's hands and hugging people that was instantly broken in 1 minute when it was found out that there was a deadly virus sweeping the world? How about those habits?
It'll come right back.
No, it won't.
Sure, it will.
It's not coming back.
No,
but you broke. It doesn't matter. You broke it immediately is my point. So how about that habit that you instantly broke within 5 minutes of hearing?
If the spoon... Look, I do my best. I try. I mean...
How about the habit of not wearing a mask ever in your entire life?
When I forget to do the spoon trick, it's sincerely a mistake. I don't mean to.
Oh, my.
Purely because Lord. It upsets you.
Oh, God. Okay, well, let's change the subject before I have to go take a drive. Nick, by the way, has become an engineer, a recording engineer, because we, in addition to our beloved number one smash hit podcast, which you're currently listening to, we do a lot of animated jobs and animation jobs. And so we have to have all this equipment. And Nick has become quite proficient.
Well, the funny thing is we are on a cartoon regularly called The Great North.
Which hasn't premiered yet. It'll premiere, I don't know when.
Oh, yeah, next year, I think.
In the fall, maybe. Yeah, next year.
On Fox.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they gave us, so we already had a whole setup for the podcast, for us to record episodes at home. Then the Great North gave us a whole other setup so that they are familiar with the equipment and they, you know, using a laptop and Zoom sessions, they can be sure to record our content and our dialogue professionally. Then we've done a couple other cartoons. One of them is a big, fancy, famous cartoon. And they...
The Simpsons, maybe you've heard of it.
They sent a whole, like a hard case piece of luggage, a whole other kit. So every time we do a different recording job, because I've also done some voiceover for narration of documentaries and what you name it. Every time we do that, we have to set up a different system. So I do think I could probably get a degree in sound engineering by now.
I think so. I mean, I'm very impressed with it. I have no interest in learning to be a sound engineer, which means that in 5 years, I will be obsessed with sound engineering, and that's all I'll want to do. Just like cooking, the things that I said I would never enjoy.
Yeah, you'll be up all night looking at microphones and dust. What do you call these?
Windscreens.
Windscreens.
It is sounding pretty good already. Maybe it's just something different. We're just craving something different, do you think?
I don't know. I don't think it's just that simple as something different. I think that what a lot of the world is enjoying and sort of the main silver lining of the pandemic is that a lot of the world, especially business wise, is shut down. So a large part of the population is at home a lot more than they've ever been used to.
You don't say.
And so I think what we're enjoying, a lot of people are enjoying, is that you slow down, you're seeing the trees outside your window or, you know, your neighborhood in a way that you just never have because you're always on the go, on the go, on the go.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out, you're like, oh, what's this kitchen? What are these burners on this stove? What can be done with these? This is incredible.
Yeah.
This is where they bake those loaves of bread I've always read about.
It was a real awakening. I feel like a completely different person though than I did a year ago. Completely different.
That's pretty thrilling.
I mean, know. I love it.
Yeah.
Like all the things, except for Nick and our dogs and, you know, my friends, my true friends. I like the things I didn't like, and I don't like the things I did like. It's all changed.
Which means it's going to be an exciting new world when things are taken in hand and we can travel again, you know.
I know. I have this funny feeling that we're going to end up living in, like, Omaha or something.
Or the Riviera.
Or the Riviera.
Do you think you might go to culinary school?
No. I don't take classes in anything. I mean, I never took acting classes. I never took voice lessons. I never, you know, I've been drawing a lot recently. I never studied art. I'm a self-taught kind of a lady. What's happening to my voice and my personality just now?
I don't know. I mean,
check.
I guess you are a whole new person.
I guess so. Yeah. What else? I mean, I like that. I love this feeling of sort of like starting over.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that, and I wonder how, many people feel that way, because we are very lucky people. We're very fortunate that we're comfortable. And so,
we are in the complete ridiculous minority of having the luxury to be like, I just don't feel like doing anything.
I think I'll start over and learn how to bake.
Horrible and obnoxious, yeah. Right. I just want to lay around and not do anything. Yeah, no, it's insanely annoying, and I'm sure we've inflamed most of our listening audience. But we didn't mean to. We're just trying to be honest about our lives.
Well, yeah, you can't help it that you
that I'm annoying.
Are a comedy legend who, you know, have been very well paid for the work that you've done, and that allows you to then purchase some very beautiful Dutch ovens.
Yeah.
And so forth. You don't just get one set of tongs, you get two different lengths of tongs.
Yeah, I get the short ones and the long ones.
Like, we're sitting pretty.
Yeah.
And I, you know, if we stay in this situation, I'm looking forward to sort of applying the same sensibility, I think, back into my shop. And, you know, I started making ukuleles with an eye towards eventually making acoustic guitars. But things have been going well in the world of acting jobs. And so for me, that's become kind of I don't know if I'm ever going to get to make a guitar because I have so much fun keeping busy, doing acting stuff and writing books and whatnot. But now that the world is slammed on the brakes, I think, oh, maybe I will actually get to crank out a guitar and then become a virtuoso guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that is my thing.
That is your thing. Classical. What did flamenco. That guy, did you flamenco guitar.
Do you know what Nick Offerman did before his guitar records?
He started as an actor. Oh my God, you're going to be huge in Spain.
Oh my God. I'll sit outside.
Maybe you'll be able to visit the Love Island UK villa. Ooh. While you're there doing your concerts.
They're actually on the island of Mallorca.
Oh, Mallorca.
I'm here to tell you.
I didn't know that. Mallorca is supposed to be gorgeous.
I've also heard that. You would never know it from the television program.
No.
Because they don't leave the villa.
They don't. I mean, they've only left like a couple of times on weird dates where they have to, you know, skulk around because I'm sure nobody on the island of Mallorca wants them filming on their gorgeous island.
And it's funny, the dates aren't particularly scenery heavy. And I'm just thinking of, there was one recently where a new boy had three consecutive dates with three different women, or girls as they're called on the show. And they kept...
Or birds. They're called
that's
birds.
That's right. They're called birds.
And the guys are called lads.
Or geezers.
Yeah.
Or bruv. hey, bruv. But the on these dates, the geezer and each bird kept referring to and talking about the scenery. Like, can you believe this? Look at this.
Yeah,
but they
like
never
a flat field.
But they never showed what they were looking
right.
at.
Yeah, turn the camera around, guys. I know.
But yeah, I'll become perhaps a flamenco player. Do you remember that night?
They show people having sex on Love Island too, by the way, under the covers.
In Barcelona, late.
And I love that part of the show.
Maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. We had just gotten there, and we were wandering around at like 1 a.m. in the old part of the city.
Every time they say this episode contains scenes not suitable for, only suitable for older audiences, I say, yay.
And we came, we're walking through the medieval, like cobblestone streets. Like,
it's like love letters.
Like something out of.
We're doing a double monologue.
Man of La Mancha. And we came upon this sort of hippie looking older troubadour playing the guitar and singing Leonard Cohen's Take This Waltz in Spanish.
That was absolutely unbelievable. He was so
And there was
so
like one street light.
Good.
It was incredibly well
ancient
lit.
Ancient stone buildings and little cobblestone narrow streets, and it was dark and nobody was around.
Yeah.
And he was an unbelievable guitar player and singer.
And we danced.
We danced.
That was nice.
That was so nice. That was romantic. I mean, that was his intention. Did we? I'm sure we gave. Yeah, we gave him money. Yeah, we always we always do that.
Yeah, we.
Just recently, John Strider, Healdsburg,
that's right.
There. We went to Healdsburg just to, like, you know, walk around and see what was happening, get out, change a scene. And there was the town square, which is very charming and very tiny and town squarish. And there was some music. And so we walked over there, and there's a little gazebo, and there was a guy standing there, just one guy with his amp playing guitar and singing, and he had a woman next to him. Robin Factor singing some harmonies, and his name is John Strider, and he was really good. He was actually really good. His songs were so catchy. I mean, not really our taste exactly, but really catchy and good. I mean, he was good.
He was great. I mean, he seemed like he's the kind of guy who maybe would have been guy number 7 in the Eagles, you know, like,
yeah,
from that sort of genre. And he said that he had been living in Sweden for
18 years
and had some hits on the radio.
He had on
there.
Yellow pants. I think he got those yellow pants in Sweden. Yeah. But he, yeah, so we came home and I Googled him, and, you know, he has a following. He's known.
Yeah, he's for
he's
real.
Known. But he was playing in the square in Healdsburg, and, you know, there really weren't, he didn't have a big crowd.
His guitar there. Playing was also really tight.
Yeah, he was great. He was really good. His voice was great. She was great. I love John Strider and Robin Factor.
I mean,
you guys listen to him. Google him.
We generally love that. When we're out and we come across someone making music.
Oh my God, yeah.
Sometimes it's amazing.
It's so moving.
Sometimes it's perfectly mediocre.
But even we've been in restaurants and there's a guy playing piano.
Yeah.
Just like a guy sitting there just like playing standards. I've burst into tears before because they're so good.
Yeah.
In just like some small town in some little restaurant.
And, you know, think about everybody's situation, and if maybe you have a job and you have, you know, a family that loves you and you have some security at home, who knows what that person's situation is, but if you can, get up and give them a buck. Throw a fiver in their hat.
Yeah.
Make their day.
Oh, that's nice. I think we should end it on that. That lovely note.
Do you want me to sing something?
What was the song you were singing? Was it earlier today or last night?
It was last night. I was singing Sweet Leilani, which...
what is that?
I don't know if the Mills Brothers wrote it, but I know it from the Mills Brothers.
I don't think they wrote really many of their, songs.
I guess they didn't.
They just beautifully sang. Mills Brothers, though, for sure. Now, get on your whatever app you use and check out some Mills Bros.
It's the best.
Some Mills Bros.
And you know what? This is the last episode of season 1 of our podcast.
Aww.
So let's take this opportunity to say thank you to all 17 of you who...
All 17 billion.
That's right. Who tuned in and spent this time with us.
I mean, how is season 2 going to even be more of a smash hit than season 1? I guess we'll just have to stay at number 1 on all the charts.
I guess.
You guys, we love you. We love you and your sweet little souls and your beautiful minds. Thank you for listening, and we will bring more words into your spirits season 2. But for now, lots of love. Good night.
Good night.
Guess you might call me a Pollyanna. Bed with Nick and Megan is an Earwolf production. It's produced by Megan Mullally, Kevin Bartelt, and Michael Landry. Executive produced by Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon. Music by Nancy and Beth, which can be found at www.nancyandbeth.com. If you enjoyed In Bed with Nick and Megan, make sure to rate it and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.